Chapter 9. Around the time of my 65th birthday, a friend sent me an article she'd found somewhere called The 20 Greatest Geisha of Gion's Past. Or maybe it was the 30 Greatest Geisha, I don't remember. But there I was, on the list with a little paragraph telling some things about me, including that I'd been born in Kyoto, which, of course, I wasn't. I can assure you, I wasn't one of Gion's 20 greatest geisha, either. Some people have difficulty telling the difference between something great and something they've simply heard of. In any case, I would have been lucky to end up as nothing more than a bad geisha and an unhappy one, like so many other poor girls, if Mr. Tanaka had never written to tell me that my parents had died and that I would probably never see my sister again. I'm sure you'll recall my saying that the afternoon when I first met Mr. Tanaka was the very best afternoon of my life, and also the very worst. Probably I don't need to explain why it was the worst, but you may be wondering how I could possibly imagine that anything good ever came of it. It's true that up until this time in my life, Mr. Tanaka had brought me nothing but suffering, but he also changed my horizons forever. We lead our lives like water flowing down a hill, going more or less in one direction until we splash into something that forces us to find a new course. If I'd never met Mr. Tanaka, my life would have been a simple stream flowing from our tipsy house to the ocean. Mr. Tanaka changed all that when he sent me out into the world. But being sent out into the world isn't necessarily the same as leaving your home behind you. I'd been in Gion more than 6 months by the time I received Mr. Tanaka's letter, and yet, during that time, I'd never for a moment given up the belief that I would one day find a better life elsewhere with at least part of the family I'd always known. I was living only half in Gion, the other half of me lived in my dreams of going home. This is why dreams can be such dangerous things. They smolder on like a fire does and sometimes consume us completely. During the rest of the spring and all of that summer following the letter, I felt like a child lost on a lake in the fog. The days spilled one after another into a muddle. I remember only snippets of things, aside from a constant feeling of misery and fear. One cold evening after winter had come, I sat a long while in the maid's room watching snow falling silently into the Okia's little courtyard. I imagined my father coughing at the lonely table in his lonely house, and my mother so frail upon her futon that her body scarcely sank into the bedding. I stumbled out into the courtyard to try to flee my misery, but of course we can never flee the misery that is within us.